All right, grab your Bibles if you would. Matthew chapter number 8. Thank you, instrumentalists, for playing along. I was pausing my singing and just listening to the instruments for a little bit. And what a blessing it is, young people and others alike, to use their talents for the Lord and play unto the Lord. Praise the Lord for it. Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. Hopefully you had a good week in the Lord and serving the Lord. And I know there is some good report from Camp Northwest, and hopefully you prayed for that a little bit. And it was a blessing to hear good reports there. And some had went up during this week to the services, and praise the Lord for it. Amen. Matthew chapter number 8. Let's go ahead and start reading in verse number 28. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28. And when it was come, when he was come to the other side under the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Lord, I do thank you for the chance to be in church. I thank you for the health to be here. I thank you for those as well that are here this morning. Thank you for giving us vehicles that got us here. Thank you for watching over us on the roads. Thank you for preparing us, Lord, to be here. And Lord, I ask that you would deal with us this morning, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is guide and teacher. Lord, I pray that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people. But Lord, when we leave here, that we would know that your Holy Spirit did a work and that your Holy Spirit spoke to hearts and ministered to us right where we are. Thank you for the many truths out of the passage of Scripture, Lord. Help me to be faithful to the Word of God and not say anything that I shouldn't say. Lord, put my mind on the things of you and on the Scriptures and on what you've given me this morning. Lord, I pray I wouldn't be distracted or any distractions would come in this place, that you would drive out any wicked spirit, Lord, that might be in here. Lord, as we talk about, not in depth, Lord, but as we mention and bring up the fact of one possessed with devils. And Lord, I pray that you would just drive any wicked thing from this place, that there would be nothing here as a distraction or as a hindrance from your Holy Spirit doing a great work in the hearts of your people. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We can see here in Matthew chapter number 8, it is the one of three times that it's brought up, or at least three times that we're going to look at it in Scriptures here. We're also going to look at it in Mark, and we're going to look at it in Luke, as the writers give us different accounts of the same story. But we're going to look at things, some things, and draw some things out that can be applicable to us and to our lives as we see some things here in the Scripture. And like any Bible story, as we kind of dig into it and we read it and we think about it and we maybe meditate, or as David said, we muse on some things out of Scriptures, we can see some amazing things, and we can have questions on why, how and why people react certain ways. And of course, we want the Lord to deal with our hearts. Right, we're not here this morning. A Sunday school setup might be a time for learning. As we're going through kind of the Scriptures and going through different things, maybe the setup for more of a teaching time during Sunday school with the young kids and with the adults as well. And it's good that we have that. It's good that we have some of the Word of God taught to us and applied differently in our lives. Preaching is a thrust. Preaching is more of taking the Word of God and seeing how can we apply it to our lives and what can we do to be better for the Lord Jesus Christ. And often teaching just has a different feel to it. Maybe it's a Sunday night or a Thursday night. These other times when there might be a different feel to what we're doing and what we're going through in the Scriptures on Sunday nights. We're going through the story of the person of Noah, and we're going through some of the things, what it was like in those times, and why Noah stood out, and how God dealt with Noah, and these things. And so it's a little bit more of a teaching time where we can make some practical application. But a sermon time is how can we apply the Word of God to our lives, right? Now listen, teaching, we can all love teaching, right? Because it's facts. It's knowledge. It's things that we can just, we're learning things about God's Word, right? We're learning different things. But preaching is how do we apply it into our lives to do something different? People can love teaching. Why? Because we're learning the knowledge, but we don't necessarily have to do anything with it. But that's the thing that some people don't like about the preaching. Why? Because it's forward, right? When the preacher says, you need to get right with God. You know what that means? You. I'm talking to you. We have a tendency, and I do it sometimes, preachers have a tendency to be like, we need to do these things. Right? We need... Listen, if I'm preaching on something and the Lord hasn't dealt with my heart and I haven't gotten right on some things, well, I should just stop preaching and get down. Right? But if the Lord has dealt with some things, hey, we should, as preachers, with the authority of the Word of God, be able to say, hey, you need to. And if it hits you, then say, Lord, help me. And if you have it good, then say, Lord, help. I'm glad that he's preaching it straight. Right? Not everything is directly to us, and thank God we do have some victories in this life. Thank God not everything is directly at us, and we just, you know, we're so lowly that we can't get some victory. Thank God that we do have some victories. But the preaching, it can be direct. And when we're preaching out of the things of the Word of God, we want it to be to us and to be applicable. And we run across this Bible story here. And the first thing I'd like to point out that we see in verse number 28, the Bible says, and when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. This is Jesus Christ coming across the sea, as we read earlier in the chapter, and he gets here and he comes out of the boat, and here's these two men. The first thing we see is just that. We see men. We see men. That's the first thing we see. We see two men. Now, when we get into Mark and when we get into Luke, they zero in on one of them. All right, but we understand here, even though the story is told about one guy, we see here in Matthew chapter number 8 that there were two men. And we see these men. And what do we see about them? Well, we see they were in trouble. We see these men weren't just like normal men. They might be like some of the people you work with or some of the people that are driving out there on the roads. But what are these men? Well, we find out that these men were possessed with devils. And we find that they were coming out of the tombs and that they were exceeding fierce and that nobody wanted to pass by that way because of these men. They hung out among the tombs. They hung out around those things that were dead. And they themselves were dead in trespasses and sins. And they didn't have any life in them. They were possessed of devils, and devils had taken their bodies and were controlling some of the things they would do, and controlling their thoughts and controlling their likes and controlling their dislikes. And we found these two men in a pretty bad way. They were disobedient. They couldn't be ruled by law, right? They were just, they'd be bound by chains, and they'd break the chains and do what they wanted to do. Ephesians chapter number 2 talks about being, before salvation, being a child of disobedience, and a child of wrath, and a child of anger. We see in Luke chapter number 8, we don't have to turn there yet, but Luke chapter number 8 says they wore no clothes. They're running around in the tombs, and they're angry, and they're possessed with devils, and they're disobedient, and they're hanging out, they're infatuated with dead things, and they're not wearing any clothes. And we see that we see later, as we look in the scriptures, and in Mark, we'll find that they're depressed, and that they're taking stones and they're cutting themselves. And we see there's some direct correlation to some of these things and things of the devil. And these men were not in a good place. And these men were being influenced by devils, and they were being controlled by devils. And it would seem as if they had no hope. Why? Because some men had tried to help them and tried to bind them from hurting themselves and hurting others. Some people have probably come along with some with some social ideas and some social changes to say, hey, we need to bring you in here, and if you could go through our program, and if you could do these other things, and if you could just take our charity, and if you could come down to this place and be a part of this religion, and boy, you could get your life cleaned up, and you could get yourself changed up, and then you'd be just like us. Right? But none of that was working. None of that was working. Because these men, in type, were just lost men. They were lost men. I mean, when we understand, listen, before you can get saved, you have to understand the condition you're in currently. Before you got saved, you had to understand that there was something that was anti-God and against the things of God, and that you had a problem in your life. It was called sin. That's what it was. And in men like this, well, that seems easy to point out, doesn't it? In men like this, if we were to go by a cemetery or a graveyard, and we were to go by and we were to see some people in there in this condition, right, running around with very little clothes on and just angry and cutting themselves, and we'd say, oh my goodness, something needs to happen, right? We need to call authorities, we need to call somebody, right? Because something's going on. It would be easy to point out their state and their condition if we saw them in the graveyard. But realizing that inside of us, without the Holy Spirit of God to quicken us and make us alive, we have a soul that when we take our final breath has nothing in it to make it alive. It's dead. And it goes down to a devil's hell, where the Bible says it's prepared for the devil and his angels. And so we see here, when we look at these men, we see men that are in a lost condition. We see men that, like I said, they're dead in their trespasses and sins, they're disobedient, they're full of wrath, they're depressed, they're cutting themselves, they're going through these things, they seemingly have no hope. Listen, all these things that go on in the world, people seem to be obsessed with death and demons and demonic things. Listen, as Christians, I don't know what you put on your television, but you have no business being obsessed with all that. I mean, you can't even watch commercials anymore without just seemingly things out of the pit of hell just showing up, and it's called entertainment. Being entertained by dead things and all these shows and everything that are become popular and go through things. What is it? It's wicked. It's death. Listen, if you got saved, you got victory over death. And boy, we have victory over sin, and we have everlasting life. And boy, with the Holy Spirit of God in us, we shouldn't be going back to those things. Why? Well, part of us is the dead part of us. This body is obsessed with it. Right? We have tracks back there. There's little, you know, credit card sized tracks, and there's one with like the, you know, death of the Grim Reaper or something like that. I bet you'd be surprised. You're probably not interested in those. Those don't go very quick, but you'd probably be surprised how many people would take those. Why? Because it's this fatuation with death. This infatuation with just dead and gross things. Christians, we shouldn't be like that if we're saved and born again. But listen, the world is. The world's infatuated with that. Turn to Mark chapter number 5. If you would, Mark chapter number 5, we'll read the account here in Mark. And when we're out and about, and when we're going in our day-to-day lives, we might not see people in this condition that these men were in. They might not look exactly the same. They might not act exactly the same. They might look like they have themselves together. But listen, as we see people in this world, we have to have an understanding that the people of this world, the multitudes that you pass by, the majority of them are probably lost and on their way to hell. And they're living the only lives that they know how to live. They're living for self. They're living for gratification. They're doing what everyone tells them to do. They're going after the dreams that somebody puts in front of them. They're setting up people to worship that the world sets up to worship. Right? I mean, that's what the world does. The world sets up individuals, and they set up systems, and they set up all these things, and they say, when you hear the music, bow down and worship them. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And what's most of the world do? We saw it on the news. We heard this. We saw this conspiracy theory. Whatever side you're on, right? Just here it is. We just bow down to it, and it's just the world is just whatever. whatever you say. A lot of this world, the majority of this world that you pass by, they're lost. They're without hope. They're a child of wrath. They're a child of disobedience. They're not much different than these men that we saw in Matthew chapter number 8. But look in Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5, we'll start reading in verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now see, Mark, he zeroes in on this one guy. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. What are those? The devils. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. When they that fed the swine, fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. You see what was happening? Not only do we see these men here, but thank God we were able to witness in the Scriptures, we're able to witness a miracle. Now, it wasn't done by the townspeople. It wasn't done by social workers. It wasn't done by well-intended. It wasn't done by religion. How was the miracle performed? By a man. What was his name? Jesus Christ. He was one. Jesus Christ is the one that has the ability to take those that are lost and those that have the Father as their devil, as the devil as their Father. We'll get that the right way. And change that around and change an eternal destination. That can only be done by the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be done by a sermon. Can't be done by keeping a list of things to do and not to do. It's only done by the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. And thank God for the miracle. If you've been saved, the Lord Jesus Christ did a miracle in your life. Say, how'd it happen? You called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What happened? You put your faith and trust in the death, in the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for your sin. And the Bible says, He'll save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Say, that's too easy. No, that's God's way. God is not a God that makes things so impossible that even small children can understand the gospel and get saved. Well, I would never serve a God that would send anyone to hell. That same God sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross. To do what? Pay a debt that you can't pay. How are you going to pay for your sin? How are you going to erase your sin before God? Well, religion tells me if I just have my good sins on this side of the balance, or my sins on this side of the balance, and my good works on this side of the balance, that however that works out, that's going to work out best for me. And God's just going to have to let me in. God doesn't have to do anything. Right? You're going to go to God and say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I deserve to go to heaven. You're going to tell that to God? The one who sent His own Son to die in your place, and you said, I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to do it my way. You want to try standing before God and giving Him that excuse? Well, I'm a pretty good person, so I deserve to be into heaven, right? Peter's not going to be standing at the gate asking you, so what did you do in order to get in here? That's what you ask every false religion, by the way, that either comes knocking on your door or that you run into. Say, how do I get to heaven? Just tell me right now, how do I get to heaven? Well, you have to, step one is, right? All right, well, what if, God forbid, my heart stops right now? And I fall to my knees and I say, I need to get to heaven now. How do I get to heaven? Well, step one, there's no time for step one. There's no time for step two and three and four. What do we need to do? I want to know how to get to heaven. What's religion going to tell you? Well, I'm sorry, but here's all of our information and pamphlets and paperwork. Here's everything that you have to do in order to get there. Right? What did Jesus Christ say to the thief on the cross? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was hanging on the cross. He had no chance to do any works. He had no chance to go down to the local church. He had no chance to do anything. He said, I believe in you. When he said it to Jesus Christ, and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What is it? The only one that can do a work is the man Christ Jesus. He's the only one that can do a miracle like this work. And boy, what a miracle it was. What a miracle it was. He did this. He did these things. I mean, the Bible says that here Jesus rebukes the unclean spirits and he casts out the devils. What is it? It's a type of salvation. It's a type. Now, there's many types in the Bible. All right, so when I use the word type, what do you mean? I mean, we can look at a story, we can look at a character, we can look at something in the Bible and say this represents something else. It might not line up 100%. Most types aren't going to line up in every single aspect, but there are many types in the Bible, right? And many different types of things. We can look at the Old Testament Israel and we can see a lot of things and a lot of decisions that they made, and we can say, hey, they're a type of me, a Christian, born again. Man, they're hard-hearted and they won't believe the things of God. And when God brings them through and by great miraculous deliverance, and they decide to go and do the opposite thing that God wants them to do, we can look at that and say, man, they're a great type of us. But we're not them, right? The church doesn't replace Israel in the Bible. All right, we don't believe in replacement theology. All right, but there's many types, right? Abraham and Isaac, as he takes them up on the top of the mountain. Right, and some great preaching of Isaac being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have the wood and they go up, right? And Abraham is a type of God the Father and all these things, and man, a great preaching as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's just that, it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac still needed a savior. Abraham still needed a savior. Right? And it wasn't Isaac. It was a type that doesn't work out perfectly. So what are these men? These men are a type of someone that gets saved. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he changes their lives. And there was a difference. There was a difference because of this miracle. We find out they were sitting peaceful. The Bible says that they were in their, this man here, that he was in his right mind. Look in verse 15. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. It was peaceful. He wasn't running around in the mountains, in the tombs. He was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Luke chapter number 8, we'll read it later, but verse 35 says he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He wasn't just sitting somewhere by himself. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. What happened? There was a change. The Lord Jesus Christ brings about change in people's lives. It doesn't mean that someone can't get saved and they never get in a good church and they never get a hold of the Bible, they never grow any. It doesn't mean that someone can't be saved. But if you're saved and you're trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're trying to strive for Him, you're coming to church, you're hearing the preaching, you're getting into the Word of God on your own, guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ brings change in your life. That's what He does. He brings change. And thank God for that change. It's a decent question. How different are you today than you were years ago? How different are you? There should be a difference. There should be a difference. We should have a peace in the chaos of this world because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand we can worry. Right? We're not immune to worry. We're not immune to fear. But we should have a peace given from God where when all of the world is just crying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, that we can have a peace and we can put our head in our pillow at night and say, my life is in the hand of the Savior. And I might not appreciate all that comes my way, and I'm not immune to things coming my way. I'm not immune to sickness. I'm not immune to family troubles. I'm not immune to struggles in this life. But my life rests in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We should have a peace. We should be able to hold on to a peace about that. We should desire, we should have some desire to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God in us should be drawing us to be hearing from and being led of the Holy Spirit of God sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should have that desire in our hearts to do those things. There should be something that is different. We should be clothed. Say, uh-oh, now you're getting to meddling. Preacher, now you're getting to meddling. We should be clothed different than we were before. Right? Why? We understand. If we look at the Word and we read the Bible, we should be able to understand something about modesty. It's for men and for women. Modesty. What is that? It should guide how we present ourselves as a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it matters. Because it matters. We should be clothed. We found out that they were naked and running around the tombs, and then they were clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Listen, when we understand that we are before God in all things, when we, every day of our lives, if we're saved and born again, we stand before the Creator, we're in His presence, the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, then we carry ourselves differently. We act differently. We speak differently. We dress differently if we're standing before Him. If we're speaking and acting and dressing and doing everything else for the world, then we're going to have a completely different result. A completely different result if we're doing it all for the things of the world. But for the things of God, God has a standard. He has a pretty high standard. God has that. We should be different. Why? Because of the miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ that He did in us. Thank God for that miracle. If you're saved and born again, you should occasionally be able to say, amen. Like right in that spot. We should be thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. That's not bad. I mean, some of you are still working on it, all right? And some of you are afraid to do it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Listen, we're amongst friends, right? We're amongst friends. We should be able to thank the Lord sometimes audibly, right? We should be able to thank the Lord. Listen, so as some of you know, I'm a Steelers fan. All right? Football season's about to come up. I'm a Steelers fan. All right? Now, my son is a Bills fan because his whole life we lived near Buffalo. All right? I told him, not a good choice. All right? But it's all right. They're actually, I mean, comparatively, right? They're actually looking like they're going to be okay. But I'm a Steelers fan. Everyone else in my house, generally, whether they have to go to bed because of the rules, or it's my wife, do you want to stay up and watch a game with me? She's like, no. Not interested, right? Just not interested. So the last Super Bowl that the Steelers were in, which was a long time ago, but the last Super Bowl the Steelers were in, they played against the Arizona Cardinals, all right? And you know how it goes. It's late. It's Sunday. It's late at night. So what do? I find myself the only one in our living room watching this game. Everyone else is in bed trying to sleep or just in bed to get away from the football game, right? That's my wife, right? So here I am, and it was a good game, by the way, right? I mean, it's back and forth, and all of a sudden, Arizona takes the lead, like really close to the end of the game, and there's like one drive left, and there are the Steelers. Well, I'm a Steelers fan, right? So I'm vested, right? I want the Steelers to win. So do you know what I do? I don't sit on the couch like this. That's a really good game. That's not it, right? If I'm seated, it's on the edge of my seat, right? And, well, here's me looking like a total fool in my living room when at the very end of the game, you don't care about the details, at the very end of the game, when the Steelers score a touchdown and like the guy's dragging like the very tips of his toes in the end zone, catching the ball and bringing it in to basically win the Super Bowl, say, what am I doing? I'm excited. Why? Because I'm vested. Right? It's my team. Is it affecting me personally? No. I got up and went to work the next day. Right? I didn't gain anything except my team won the Super Bowl. Right? That was pretty exciting. I mean, I don't have stock in the Steelers, right? I don't have season tickets. I didn't gain anything monetarily, right? It was just, yes, my team won. But what, it was because I cared. And so what happens? So I am silently like jumping up and down, like tensing my body because the Steelers are about to win the Super Bowl, right? Because I have to be quiet in my house, or else I would have not been quiet. That's what was happening. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying in church, we're allowed to be emotional. We're allowed to. I mean, are there limits? I don't know. I'll tell you when it's too much. All right, I'll just tell you, okay, so hold on here. That song service was so good, we need to calm down a little bit. All right? I've been in services where I was like, whoa, is that a songbook? You know? You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. I've been in some crazy services in my life, right? But what is it? We're allowed to show emotion in church. We're allowed to be thinking about the things of God and say, man, the Lord did a miracle in my life. And the Lord saved my soul and changed my destiny from hell to heaven and gave me eternal life. You know what we're allowed to do sometimes? We're allowed to be like, well, that's pretty good. We're allowed to sit in church and we're singing a song, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And we're allowed to say, well, amen to that. What are the amens like? I agree. We're allowed to say praise the Lord every once in a while. We're allowed to raise our hand or hands to the Lord. Why? Not for the show of men. Not for that. I mean, what's that matter? But right, so if I'm thinking of the things of God, and I'm raising my hand, I'm saying thank you, Lord, to him, and you're thinking of the things of God, and you're saying praise the Lord, amen, Lord. Right, we're not worried about what each other's doing. But man, there's something about that. I know, well, it's not in my nature to do that. All right, well, if your thing, whatever it is, whether all of a sudden you feel the tug on that fishing line and you know this thing's big and you just sit there. Whether it's watching your kids play sports and you're just sitting there, they're playing soccer and they have the balls on their foot and the game's almost over and it's tied and they're heading down towards the goal. If you're just sitting there like this. You know, if you are just so deadpan that you never have emotion, then all right, just flatline in church, whatever, right? I mean, here we are, right? But I'm pretty sure there's something in this life, right? I'm pretty sure there is something that you get excited about. And man, as Christians, we can get excited about the things of God. We're allowed to. That's not even in the notes right there. Did you see that? That was all back to the notes. Back to the notes. What did we see? What else do we see in the scriptures? We see the multitude. Turn to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. We saw the multitude that was not like what I was just urging you to do. All right? I was urging you to be active in your Christianity and think about the goodness of God and think about the things that God has done for you and occasionally be like, all right, well, maybe I just need to start with a pretty strong exhale to get me warmed up, you know. Man, God's been good. All right? You ever do that? You know, you can do one of those in church. It's all right. Pop in a breath mint and just give a heavy breath, you know. But don't let it be a breath mint that is still in the wrapper, all right? All right, never mind. That's something totally different. All right, that's a whole other thing. The multitude. Look in Luke chapter number 8, verse 32. I swear every cough drop and candy that's ever been opened in church has been quadruple wrapped in the crunchiest cellophane that ever existed. At home, you could open that piece of candy in like a quarter of a second, right? Just and put it in your mouth. In church, shh, 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 right? 13 minutes later, you're like, you know? Meanwhile, those of us with little patience are like, knock it off! Open your tandy beforehand. I know, too far. My wife right now would be going, stop doing that. She's at home sitting in front of a device right now watching a live stream and going, too far. That's why I put it on airplane. Put my phone in airplane mode because my wife would be like texting me, stop doing that. Luke chapter, no, we need it. Some of you candy eaters need it. It's applicable to your life. Do something about it. Luke chapter number 8, let's start reading in verse. Oh, I don't know what verse we want to start in. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 26. Luke chapter 8, 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands that was driven of the devil, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Interesting phrase there, pretty good Bible study. And there was there a herd of swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. And the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him, now we're talking about Jesus, to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. We see the multitude. Well, this multitude didn't have the same reaction that hopefully you and I would have if someone gets saved. If we see someone's lives change and we see someone get saved, we should say just that. Praise the Lord. Right? To God be the glory. Why? Because one more soul was taken from hell. One more soul the devil lost and the Lord Jesus Christ paid for and gave them eternal life. And thank God for it. We should praise the Lord, but not the multitude here. Why? The multitude didn't understand what was going on. The multitude came and they had heard that this man Jesus had come and that he had taken the devils and cast them out of the man and put him into the herd of swine. And the herd of swine went down and killed themselves. And here was the man sitting there in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And they said, man, we're afraid. We're afraid of what's going on here. We're not used to seeing something like this. We're afraid of this. They had fear of the unknown. They had also some monetary things in their mind. Wait a minute, 2,000 swine just went down and killed themselves. Who is this guy? I mean, that's a lot of money, right? I don't know who they were selling them to. Not Jews, but they were selling them to somebody, right? That's what they were doing. They were saying, hey, whoa, hold on here. You're coming in here and you're changing some things. We're losing money now, and you're coming in here. Is this guy, man, this guy's not worth anything. This guy's no good. We've seen this guy. We've seen what he does. We can't even walk by this way because this guy is such an animal. And yet God does miracles. God does miracles. And here they were. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Here comes these men. They're the ones keeping the pigs and the swine. They see this whole thing go on. They run back into the city and they say, man, you wouldn't believe what's going on now. Man, 2,000 of our herd just ran down and killed themselves, and here's this man and coming off this boat, and you know the crazy person that's out there? Yeah, he's like sitting there acting normal now. And they all come out to see what's going on, and they say, oh man, we don't understand. Right? They didn't know what was going on. They couldn't spiritually discern what was happening. They couldn't understand the miracle that was working. They had heard the story from somebody else. Well, I heard that so-and-so got religion. You ever hear that? Has that ever been said about you? Well, I heard so-and-so now has turned into like this Bible thumper religious person. All they do now is talk about the Bible and they talk about these other things, and that's all they want to talk about. And man, they don't hang out with us anymore. They don't party with us anymore. They don't do the things we used to do anymore. Man, they're trying to clean up their language. I haven't heard them curse. Man, every time I go to tell a joke, man, the guy gets up and leaves. Man, what's up with him? What's up with her? What are they doing? Did you ever have that said? What, it's one person telling somebody else they can't spiritually discern what's going on. They can't see the miracle for what it is. It's just this multitude that's sitting there. They don't have a clear understanding. They haven't dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know what's happening. They're just out there saying, man, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night, our neighbors are getting in their car and driving somewhere. I know where they're going. They're going to church because they invited me to go there. Man, what are they doing? Right? The world has no concept. They have no idea. They have no understanding of what's going on. But we see them. We see the multitude here. The multitude being afraid. And they said, hey, yeah, Jesus, go back from where you came from. We're not interested in you here. Right? We see that a lot in this world. Not interested in the things of God. We see it. It's out there. But I like to say that we do see something else in this passage right here in Luke chapter number 8. Not only do we see men that were possessed, we saw the miracle of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, we see the multitude and their reaction, but we see a singular man now who is drawn out here in Luke chapter number 8. This singular man. Verse number 38, Luke chapter 8, verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. This man who the devils have come out of goes to the Lord Jesus and he says, hey, I want to be with you. But Jesus sent him away. Jesus sent him away. He had something for him to do. We see one man. Now we know from Matthew there was two men, right? There's two men. But we only see here that one man comes to Jesus. He's singled out now in Luke and says, but this guy, he goes back to Jesus and says, hey, I want to be with you. I want to go where you're going. I want to do what you're doing. Listen, if you had a life of sin in this world, then you should want to be with Jesus. And say, hey, I know what that was like. I know what my decisions were like. I know what my life was like then. No, I want to go where you go. Lord, I want to follow you. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to have you guide me and you tell me. I just want to be with you. That's what we should want to do. But some of them, some Christians get the devils cast out of us, get our lives cleaned up by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we say, nah, I'm going to find something else to do. Appreciate it. Appreciate you. Right? I'm going to find something else to do. But not this guy. We see a singular man. This man said, I want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, hey, let me go with you. Let me be with you. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ, in essence, was saying? No, you don't need to be with me. You don't need to be with me. I have these other 12 guys, and they are enough to handle. Right? You read your Bible, and you're like, about the disciples, and you're like, sheesh. These guys are hard to learn. These guys don't learn that easily, right? I have these other 12 guys with me. We're good. But I do have something for you to do. That's what he said, right? That's what the Lord says. If you don't know the passage, just read it. Look and keep your finger in Luke chapter number 8. Turn back to Mark chapter number 5. Turn back to Mark chapter number 5. Verse number 19. 18 for the context. And when he was come unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Let me go with you, Jesus, Lord. Let me go with you. Verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home. Go home. Go home, he says. Go to thy friends. Go home. Why? Because even this man was wanting to follow Jesus Christ. He wanted to follow him. But Jesus Christ said, No, I have a different job for you to do. And the guy probably didn't understand it, right? I mean, he probably didn't understand what the point was. He didn't understand the value of the job he was given. Why? Because he didn't. What did he know? He says, Man, the Lord Jesus Christ means everything to me right now. What I was and now what I am and now the freedoms that the Lord Jesus Christ has given me and my life is so drastically different that I want to be with Him all the time. And the Lord says, Nope. No, you can't come with me. You can't be with me now. Now's not the time. You can't come and hang out. It's not the time. I'm sorry. Go. Go home. Go to thy friends. Well, that would have been, that's difficult. I mean, don't you sit there sometimes when things get difficult in this world and say, Lord, I just want to be with you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Right? Lord, can't you just come back like right now? No? Okay. How about right now? No? I can do this all day. Right? How about now, Lord? You come back now and just take us out of here. No more bills and pain and sorrow and sickness and none of that. We just be with you forever. Man, it's a good prayer. And we say, Lord, I want to be with you. And what's the Lord say? Not right now. Not right now. Lord, but it would just make sense. I mean, just, man, I want to even, I mean, Lord, I just want to be able to worship you without sin. I just want to worship you clean and pure with a right heart and a right mind. Lord says, not now. Not now. That's what he says. That's what he's saying to you. If you're saying, Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Not right now. Not right now. Why? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ says, go. Go home. Go to your family. Why? Because there's men, there's a miracle, there's a multitude, there's a man, and he gave that man a message. That's what he gave him. He gave him a message. Mark chapter 5, verse number 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Flip over to Luke chapter number 8, if you're still there. Luke chapter number 8. We saw in verse 37 that the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went back into the ship and returned back. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. He had a message. The Lord told the man to go back with a message. What was the message? Brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the message. Go back and say, hey, you won't believe what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. That was the message. Go home. Go to your friends. Tell them, hey, I met a man named Jesus. And you wouldn't believe what he did in my life. Let me tell you about it. Well, I don't really have the time. It'll only take some time, right? I can't sit here and tell you all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. But let me tell you one thing he did for me. Man, I was once lost and in my own sin with no hope. And the Lord Jesus Christ offered me salvation free. And by faith, I accepted it. And he changed my life forever. Say, what just happened? She just gave somebody the gospel. In your life, how you got saved, you can tell somebody else how you got saved. Why? Because the Lord says, it's not time to be with me right now. I have a message for you to tell your friends and your family and everyone else that you're around. Go and tell this message. Does your house know what great things the Lord's done for you? Your house. So, well, my family, we're in church and we do these things. Yeah, but have you told them how great God is recently? Have you told your kids how great God is? Sometimes Christians can have a tendency of just whining a bit. Well, I'm saved, but man, life is just so hard and it's so difficult and all these things are happening to me. And why does it have to happen to me? And whine, whine, complain, complain, right? And then we wonder why our kids aren't super excited about living for God. Because they hear us complain and whine about stuff. What about talking about how good the Lord is? My friends don't want to get saved because you're complaining constantly. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, that's a tough one. Yeah, that's preaching to me too. Right, but does our house know the great things of the Lord? What about our families? Do our families, do the people we know, the people that we're around, he says, go and tell thy friends, right? Do the people you know, your friends, do they know the great things that God has done for you? You don't have any lost acquaintances? Tell them the great things that God has done for you. Find an opportunity. Look in Luke chapter number 8. Now the man out of verse 38. Let's go to 39. Return unto thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He went to the whole city. In Mark chapter number 5, we're not going to turn back there. It says he goes to all of Decapolis. What was that? That was like the region that he was in. Not just the place that, not just his house and his family. He said, hey, I told them already, but other people need to know what good things he did for me. And he went and he tells the whole city what happens. And not only that, but then he said, hey, I might as well keep going here. I'm not going to stop here. Hey, you're down here from this place. Oh, you're from Olympia? Let me tell you what great things the Lord did for me. Oh, I live in Napa Vine. You live in Centralia? Let me tell you the great things that God did for me. And said, hey, anyone who wants to hear, the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. He had a message, and this guy, he went above and beyond what the Lord told him to do. He said, hey, go to your family, go back to your family, to your friends, right? The Lord set the expectation at a pretty good spot for most Christians. And this guy said, well, that's not good enough. I told them already, I might as well tell some other people. Why? Because he did a miracle in my life. It might have been many years ago. It might have been a few years ago. It might have been months ago. He did a great work in my life. I need to tell somebody. I need to tell somebody about it. Who have you told about the great things the Lord's done in your life? About salvation. About the blessings of God in this life. About your church. About the goodness of God in your life. I'm glad the Lord gives us verse number 40. Look in Luke chapter 8, verse number 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people, who's that? That's the multitude now. The people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. They were waiting for him. Say, what happened? Well, he went out and told people the great things God had done for him. And lo and behold, not everybody was mad. Believe it or not, not everybody rejected what he said. Believe it or not, not everybody turned down the gospel track. Believe it or not everybody said no every time they were invited to go to church. He had some fruit. Some of you are fruit of others asking you about the Lord Jesus Christ, asking you to come to church, asking you if the Lord Jesus Christ has ever done a miracle in your life. Some of you are the very fruit of that, and yet we can get caught in this position where we then don't ask others. this man did. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and steps foot off the boat and shows up there, this time they didn't say, "Hey, get out of here." They weren't worried about the pigs. They weren't worried about the money. They were there and they gladly received him. Why? Because one guy, one man went out and said, "Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ has done great things in my life." And a whole town and city was ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of one man. Because of what one man did. They were waiting. One man told of God's goodness and lived a life of that proof. Right? Because your life might be the only example that some people have of what it means to be saved and born again. Your life. Not what you say, how you live. And if they're looking at you as the example of someone that's saved and born again, do they even want it? But a life that is lived for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a life that says about the great things the Lord Jesus Christ did, people say, "I want that. I want that." Listen, I understand this world's crazy. I understand the things we hear, but there are individuals saying, "I have no answers for what's going on right now. And my family is in turmoil, and things are just insane in this world. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do." And what they need is someone to say, I'll tell you who to turn to. It's not some self-help. It's not some YouTube guru. It's not some like online preacher. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's who you turn to. And boy, once you get saved, and we have a church where it's a bunch of people just trying to do the right thing and live for God in the peace of God and encourage one another to do it. Why don't you come? We'll encourage you. You can encourage us. And we can hear from the things of God, and we can have this guy talk about Steeler football and yell at us. I won't ask which one was which. I'll just take the amen. All right. That's what happened in the early book of Acts. Let's turn there. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power." That's not some spooky, weird power. That's power of the Holy Ghost. We see it in the early church in the book of Acts. The Holy Ghost of God moved on people and gave them a boldness to do what? To give the gospel. That's the power, right? It's not power to like heal people and power to draw attention to ourselves. And it's not like great strength, like now you can go work out at the gym and be better. It is, you receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both in where? Jerusalem. That's where they lived. And in all Judea. That's the area around Jerusalem. You could look at it like the county or the area around there. And in Samaria. Now it's extending now. We're getting a much larger region of place now. And unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So what happens? Right there. Jerusalem, Samaria. As Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. We can have a part in all that. In doing what? Telling people right where we are about the Lord Jesus Christ. People that we come in contact with. Right here. When we go places and go shopping and go here and go there, we can say, "The Lord's done great things for me." And you know what we can do? We can put money in an offering plate and support those that God has called to go to the othermost parts of the world. And we have a part in their fruit. The easy part, in reality. The easy part, throwing the dollars in. Right, while someone else goes and we support them in reaching the uttermost part. Why? You're supporting their voice in your stead to go. And listen, if not everyone's going to come in here and hear my voice, then you can be my voice out there with all the people that you have influence with. You can be the voice for the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Man, great things he's done for me." We see a lot of things in this story. See men, see miracle, see the multitude. We see a man. We see that he had the message. And what happens? People receive the Lord Jesus Christ. People come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through your testimony, through your word, through your message that comes from God. But how are you doing with it? Has the Lord convicted you this morning at all? I mean, I know, heads up, right? We're still looking around. It's not even, we haven't even bowed our heads yet. Has the Lord dealt with you at all about your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, has the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, spoken through the preached word and through the examples of this story, has the Lord spoken to you to say, I should do that more. I should be a better witness. I should tell people, God has done some great things for me. God has done some great things. Say, I don't know what to say. I know the excuses, right? They just start coming up pretty easily. You know what we have in the back there? All in the back wall, all over the place there? We have gospel tracts. You know what it takes? It takes a little bit of courage to hand somebody a gospel tract, and that gospel tract tells the story of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Say, what is it? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to say, I need to tell people about what Christ did for me. I've been slacking in this area. Maybe I haven't ever been much at doing it. Maybe I didn't really understand the importance of what it was, but it's taking that gospel track and getting it out there. Anyone else we have in the back? We have a sign-up sheet. Say, you tricked us! No, I didn't. But we do have a sign-up sheet in the back. Say, what is it? It's where you get to stand with friends. Like shoulder to shoulder. With fellow soldiers of this church. And do what? Say, hey, there's a lost and dying world and there's a lost and dying community that's going to be walking right by you. And what do? You have the opportunity to stand there with a big sign and a colored picture and sign of Faith Baptist Church. You have the opportunity to say, did you get one of these? Did you get one of these? What is it? It's the gospel. It's the good news. I have nothing against churches handing out bottles of water and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. But man, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we see it in the scriptures. I mean, I'm not going to belabor the point. We have opportunities. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Piano player comes, it just gives us a moment to bow our heads and speak to God with what He might have dealt with us about. Maybe you need to be a witness to your family, to your coworkers, to your friends. Maybe you need to grab some gospel tracts and say, I need to, on purpose, go out and tell somebody about the great things that God's done for me. Tracts are a great opportunity. Maybe the Lord's been tugging on your heart about the fair. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sign up. I'm going to sign up for a slot. And I'm going to go there. And I'm going to take some time out of my life, my busy schedule. And I'm going to go pass out some tracts and stand there with the church. And we're just going to see what happens. I'm going to get invested. I'm going to put my life out there and just do it. For who? For the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For His honor. By the end of the fair, get a list of those that have made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ and do what? We can glory in those things together. We can rejoice in those things together. Saying whatever it was, thank God that we were able to give out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were there and if you passed out a gospel tract and you signed up and you put forth an effort and you sacrificed something, then you could say, thank God He used me in a part. Maybe even a small part, but just I had a part in doing something. I know what time it is. Thank you for being patient this morning. We're just giving some time for mostly young people. I'm thankful their hearts are tender towards the things of God. Just spending some time talking to the Lord. I hope the Lord dealt with you this morning. Just pulled on your heartstrings a bit. Lord, I need to be a better witness. That's not a bad prayer. It's a good prayer. Lord, I need some boldness. He'll help you with that. Lord, I need opportunities. He'll open the doors when you didn't think they were going to be there. Lord, I want to get involved and do something for you. Just don't exactly know how to do it. Don't know exactly how to take the right steps. Just tell people about the Lord. It's a great place to start. It's a great thing. Lord, thank you so much for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, I don't want to be negligent, but Lord, I pray that if there is someone lost here this morning, Lord, that they would grab a hold of somebody. Come speak to me. Grab a hold of somebody and ask them about salvation. Lord, that we could open up a Bible and put a man with a man or a woman with a woman and open up the scriptures and show them what the Bible has to say about salvation, a free gift. Thank you that we can know where we're going to go when we die. We have the assurance of your word. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would continue, Lord, to move in my life and in these people's lives to encourage us to give the gospel, to say the things we need to say, to tell people of the great thing that you've done in our lives, to be an influence on our family and the community around us for the cause of Christ, to invite people to church that might not understand or might be looking for a place to join up and find the joys that are in serving Christ. Lord, you'd allow this place to be a friendly church and a church that welcomes people of all conditions and all different things going on in their lives, that we'd welcome them and we'd help people out and we'd love one another. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for what you've done for us. I pray that we as Christians would not take anything for granted, but go forward for the cause of Christ. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.